What up, what up? It's your player partner, Rai Rai, coming to you with another episode of Let's Talk About It, where we discuss real life problems with real life people. I know sometimes you feel like you don't want to be fooled with. I know some days you just don't feel like talking. But then it be them times to where you just feel like getting it off your chest. And that's what I'm here for. Let's talk about it.
What up, man? You are now tuned in to Let's Talk About It. I got a very special guest today, man. You guys may know this man. He's a man of many talents, musician, Army veteran, Lubbock mayoral candidate, now pastor, Mr. Stephen J. Sanders. Give it up for my boy. How you doing, man?
Doing good, man. I'm just a minister, not a pastor yet. Not yet.
Hey, man, we're speaking it into existence.
I like that.
Yes, sir. So today, man, we discussing bettering Black America. And I feel like it's a pretty touchy topic, a pretty good discussion that we need to have, man, with the community and us as a people in a whole. So I got a few questions for you, man. Maybe you can kind of hint on them for me and maybe give me your insight on a few.
All right.
You down with that?
Oh, yeah.
All right, man, my first question would be, what would you say to the Black America or the Black community that kind of is in a state of fear, saying that we as a people cannot thrive in times such as these? What would you have to say to those type of people?
Well, I mean, you know, I want to, first of all, give encouragement to those people to, mainly first, not ever be afraid and not ever be concerned on whether you can thrive. In recent years, America was built on the white man.
Right.
And which is the Anglo-Saxon. And so what we had to do was kind of fit in and find our way. The Emancipation of Proclamation really knock that out the ballpark. Now we do deal with racism still, and we do deal with people who are prejudiced, but for the most part, that is something that we can rise above. Right. And the way you do that is you get educated, you have got to read, and you have got to put yourself in place and around people who want to see you succeed. If you hang around, if you stay around the same people, and I say that to say this, sometimes us as Black people will drag each other back down
right.
when we start to rise as a people. And so I think that our biggest issue right now is not white America, but Black America, on Black America.
Say that.
Yeah. And once we learn how to love each other and build each other up and lift each other up, I think then we will make some huge steps and really make our way in history.
Man, I attest to that, brother. I feel like that's one of the main things that kind of disconnect us as a community, I'm sorry, I feel like is the connectedness or the unity, the way we perceive when one succeed, you know, in our community. And we look at them in a way that we shouldn't, you know, I feel like, and that's just my opinion. These are my opinions. This ain't no facts, nothing like that, but we here to talk about it, man. So we talking about it. Another question that was brought up, how can we as a community impact the laws in the community in which we live in? What can be some effective ways that we can maybe, you know, work things in our favor?
Okay, and before I answer that question, I want to say this. The reason that Black people tend to drag each other back down and kind of have that animosity towards other Black people when they begin to rise and really step into their full potential is because previous Black people who have made it, who have actually made it, made a way for themselves and really lifted themselves up, forgot about the Black people that were still back behind them. And they didn't reach back and try to help them. And so that's a part of the oppression that keeps us bound down. When we don't help each other, it makes other people bitter. And so we have got to help ourselves, and we have to help other people. I got two hands, and one hand is for reaching for the future, and my other hand is for reaching back for my people and bringing my people full steam ahead. I refuse to leave my people behind. That will never happen. That will never happen. But in pertaining to that question that you asked me about how we can mold laws and make them work in our favor, is we have to get Black people elected to offices and places in power. If we are not in power, we cannot change anything.
Right.
And that's the key, man. And that's the reason why I take it so serious. And I will not give up on running for mayor and making this thing a dream, because I know that's one way that I can make sure my people get a fair shake at least one time before I'm dead and gone. And that's a huge thing that's important to me. My kids will do it, and their kids will do it. I'm starting something that will last a lifetime behind the name Sanders. And for the sake of the African-American people in general, I want to see my people rise, man.
Man, that's what it's all about at the end of the day, man. Building a legacy, building something that our people can stand on and be proud of, you know. I was talking the other day to my child, you know, and we kind of talked about slavery, you know, and it's kind of crazy how we instill that in our children as a youth, but we don't talk about the other side of, you know, our race and who we are. You know, we don't really highlight the things that make us who we truly are, you know, and I feel like in society that today is not talked about at all, you know.
And yeah,
that swing, that makes a difference, man. The things that we allow inside of us and the things that we allow to overtake our thoughts, you know.
Yeah.
When
Abraham Lincoln won the election in 1860, that whole thing right there is something that I go back over with my kids quite regular, and make sure that they understand, because that was the first white man to ever care about a Black man.
Right.
And
right.
So and he also had slaves too, by the way.
Right.
But he did care, you know, and a lot of times Black people feel like all white people hate Black people. And that's not true. That's not the case. Some white people that want to see Black people rise up that have actually went through some hard times and kind of understand how it feels to not be sheltered and to go through being talked about and bullied and misused and mishandled and called names, you know, the N-word and all of that kind of stuff. And I always try to tell my kids, you will not disrespect another race or another person, because some people have already paved the way for you to be who you are. Amen. So you have to act the way you want to be treated. And so when us as Black people, when we start to read, we got to read. We don't read enough.
Right.
If we read and know the history, then that makes us more eligible and more liable to talk about what we feel, because we know the history behind it, and we know what we're talking about. It's just like taking a test in school. If you haven't studied, you ain't gonna do good on that test.
right.
So if you haven't studied up on the history of Black people, you're not gonna do good when it's time to stand up and face the white man or whoever's trying to oppress us at that very moment.
Right. And man, oppression can come from not just people, you know, and that's another thing I instill in my children, as far as, just like you said, kind of hitting on what you said as far as holding yourself accountable, you know, and not allowing other people to dictate where you go about your business, because at the end of the day, God looks at you, you know? And I try to instill that in my children, because we have to take our own self by the bootstraps, you know, like Brother Martin Luther King said, we gotta hold ourselves accountable, man. And accountability is another thing that's not talked about in the Black community that I feel like we need to, you know, on, but that's another subject. That's another time. That's another episode.
you know how I feel about that, man. You know, for far too long, our leaders have been just saying, we are Black people. We got to do this and we got to do that and we got to do this. But in our own communities, we don't ask young men to pull their pants up. We don't ask young men, You know, I demand that young men around me are respectful in the midst of my children and my family. You're not going to just cuss and rant, rave, and do all of that kind of stuff. Right. I want you to represent, you are representing me, especially if you're black. Right. I don't want you acting like that. And so I hold my, I don't be sagging and doing this and doing that. I know what it takes to have favor. And to have favor, you have to be presentable. And when we're not presentable, that means that we're not taking accountability for who we are as a person. But I know that's another thing, and I could go all up.
Man, we can go all night long about that one, man.
Yeah, man.
But another situation that we're going through right now, man, do you think that we would ever recover from this this situation, this COVID-19?
Oh, man, absolutely. I think that it was just a holding point. God has us in a holding point right now.
Yeah.
Giving us some time to forget about and quit caring about all the things that don't really matter so much. Getting the families back to the table to eat dinner together, getting communities together to pray, getting things back down to the basics, and for the most part, turning back to God and saying, God, we need you. You are our maker, our foundation, you are Omega, you know, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You are all of that. And once we reference God back how we used to, then and only then, Second Chronicles says, if my people called by my name would humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and heal the land. That's a real thing.
Yes.
We've gotten too crazy. There's so much stuff going on. We killing, we robbing, we, you know, we,
you know, and the Bible speaks of that most definitely in the books of Revelation, man. And I don't get as a community, it's kind of fun. I don't say funny in a sense of it's actually humorous, but it kind of wears me because we as a black people know the story, I guess, behind Christ. You know, we that's been driven us for a long time, you know. So I feel like we at a point in time where we know, just like we can't take and choose what we want to take from the Bible. So if we look at the things that's going on around us, it's evident everything that you read in that book, man, comes to fruition. And it's a big thing too, man, just being informed. And God also said knowledge is power, you know.
That's right.
Yes, to know.
And he will make your enemies your footstool, you know. Yes. So the people who are oppressing us, once we get back to a place where we are putting God first, God will make those people our footstools, you know, and we'll be able to rise above all of that stuff. And I just think about it all the time. And even away from the Bible and all of that stuff, I had to, I'm a musician. I've been a musician in Lubbock for 23 years, making money in the circular.
Mean on the piano keys, boy.
Hey, I appreciate that. Making money like that to take care of my family for a long time. And I got to a point to where I realized that I was kind of misleading God's people. There was a lot of Christian people who came out to my shows and to listen to me play. And here I am playing music that demeans everything that we are supposed to be living for. And so I had to take some time and figure out where I really wanted to go. Do I really want to continue to lead people away from God's way, or do I want to lead people to God? And so I gave up the whole band thing. I'll still play music in restaurants and stuff like that, but not at bars and clubs anymore. And I will only play inspirational music and music that inspire people to do better, to live better, to take care of their relationships, to pursue greatness. And that's the only thing I will ever do anymore. I won't ever play in a band anymore because there's too many different things that come with that. Especially the alcohol and the drugs. Right. I feel victim to all of that stuff.
Right.
And the Bible talks about us being sober-minded so that we can make good decisions, man.
Right.
So
right.
That's how I feel about that. I mean, we got to do what's right, man.
That's it, man. At the end of the day, and we'll be rewarded for it, you know.
Ooh.
We'll be rewarded for it greatly, man. The eyes have not seen, mouths have not. You know, it's so many things that we can't even begin to think about that God has in store for us. And
that's right. That's,
you know, right. And it's amazing. It gives me chills, man. But yeah, as far as me, man, I give my insight on the COVID-19. I definitely agree with you, man, and feel like that we definitely can overcome this. It's going to take a lot of unity, as we was talking about earlier. Faith, most definitely.
Yeah, that's the biggest part. There's two types of faith. The faith that Moses had to have whenever he parted the Red Sea.
Yes, sir.
And then there's another faith that you have to have that you, when you don't have evidence of what's going to happen, and that's called passive faith. And when you have passive faith, that means if COVID-19 still gets worse, I will still continue to have faith in God that he can fix it at any given moment. And once we get back to that, that's what God is looking for. See, God is, he don't like for us to be serving, you know, different gods. He want to be only him.
Right.
And so when we praise the athletes and we praise the movie stars and the right. famous musicians and all these people, you know, that's cool to like those people, but we don't want to praise those people.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? That's a pagan God, man. We don't want to do that. And so I think God is just saying, hey, come back to me. I love you. I'm your father. And I still got my hand on you. I still care about you, America, but I need you to come back to me.
Amen, brother. Amen, man. That's beautiful. And at the end of the day, man, if we all can realize that as a people, understand that it's going to, like I say, take a lot of faith, you know, but it take brothers like us. You know, that's why we're here to talk about it, you know, to put it on Front Street. I'm not scared to claim my God. I'm not scared to say that he is good, that his grace is sufficient.
Amen.
No matter, you know, it's okay, you know, and I live Amen. My life like that. You know, and yeah. I just want to encourage people out there, man, and just keep them in our prayers, man. I know you're a good man of God, and I appreciate you. We're running out of time, man, so I'm gonna have to cut it off.
Yeah,
but, man, that's it, man. It's just staying connected, staying close.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Getting back to the basics, brother.
Back to the basics, man. I like them right there, brother. Man, it's been good talking to you, brother.
Absolutely, man.
Yes, sir, man. I'm going to have you on another time, man. Anytime, you're welcome, brother.
You know you got me, man.
All right, now you take it easy. God bless you.
All right, later. Peace. Bye.
Black America, we got to do better. Especially in trying times like this, we need to be motivating one another, loving one another, helping one another, uplifting one another. But most importantly, keeping our head high and our faith higher. This too shall pass. This is your main man, signing on and signing off. Peace.